But why on earth now? I mean, how in the holy macrimony world can you come to a time that you're on a Friday before you're playing Real Madrid in the Champions League that can save your season?
Hi, and welcome to the German Fußball Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Fjørtoft, and as always, joined by co-host Jan Fjørtoft. A busy week in German football, Dad. We got Champions League games coming up for two Bundesliga games. We still rejoice in that fact. But then there's also a little bit of drama. FC Hollywood never fails to disappoint either. But before we go into that, always a little quick brief from your weekend. You are very central within the football world in terms of where you are, and you got to experience some pretty good games, I'd say, as well.
Especially when you're a Gunners fan like you are, Mark.
And that's what I was alluding to.
That was a great weekend. Yes, I just arrived back home. We're recording this late Monday afternoon. I went first to West Ham Liverpool, which was a special occasion, because I think that what happened between Salah and Klopp is a signal of how it is like when a manager is leaving. So this waiting time till he leaves, kind of break down the rules a bit. You allow yourself to do different things. Everybody saw this quarrel between Salah and Klopp. We don't know what was talked about. Klopp, after the game, wouldn't say anything. He said it was sorted in the dressing room. Then Salah came into the mix zone saying, if I say something, it's going to be a fire. I tried to read that in him trying to be a bit funny, a humor kind of way. I don't want to over analysis on it. I think that is a sort of thing that could happen in football. 2-2. I talked to David Moyes after the game. I managed to get him to talk about his future, talking about what West Ham fans should be afraid of, careful what they wait for, and then he just went into it. And then the big game, of course, Tottenham against Arsenal. Extraordinary game. Ball possession, Tottenham first half, more chances, and it's 3-0 for Arsenal. Just show the efficiency, just show the quality of Arsenal, of course. Two set-piece goals. And after the game, I spoke to both managers with Ange Postecoglou. You can imagine how it's like to go into an interview when you lost the game. And he's one of those managers, you have to be prepared, because he will get at you if you're doing some, so how important was this game kind of question. Stay away from it. And Arteta, I will soon be finished with my summary. Arteta was different than this time. Very open. Of course, when you win the local derby against a local rival in North London, you were open, or you're in good mood. But I went with the whole my kind of ambition, saying, yeah, they talk about XS, XG, supercomputers, but rest program, analysis of that. But at the end of the day, to win against Tottenham, that is a great, great achievement. And he went along. And I also talked to Martin Ødegaard, second times in a row now. People think that we will get him because he's Norwegian. That's not the case. We will get him when there is good timing for it. It was a good weekend, Marcus. But of course, from Friday on, after Uli Hoeneß went to Abteilung Attacke, they call it in Germany, that is department attack, when he kind of went for it again, of course, I followed very closely what would happen in Germany.
Well, yes. Well, it is up to you, Dad, to provide some context as such. Last week, we didn't focus particularly on Bayern's result as such, even though that was a convincing 5-1 win away to Union Berlin. The same as now, we have a Harry Kane brace, two goals. He's leading the Golden Boot. They are going up against Real Madrid. Everything's going well. And then Uli Hoeneß, who is, you know, someone Thomas Tuchel still refers to as boss, even though he is pretty much an honorary president as such. But that's the position Uli Hoeneß has in the club, a club legend. And then rather interestingly, as everything seems to be going rather well, he decides to stoke the fire ahead of their Champions League games when they're finding a bit of momentum in Tuchel's kind of farewell tour. What's the deal, Dad? Why is he doing that in the first place? Is it, well, we can just start there and then take it from there, because this is rather interesting timing, isn't it?
Yeah, a quick explainer, as they say.
That's the
Ole
one.
Gunnar
I
was,
listened to the podcast though. That's what he says. The rest is politics.
quick explainer. Rory Stewart loves to say that. The rest is politics, as is one of our favorite podcasts, Marcus. Quick explainer. He was one of the best footballers in Germany. Won the World Cup 74. Been around in the 70s, winning all everything with Bayern. Then he took over Bayern in the age of 27, end of 70s. And he turned him into being a great football club, a success, and turned him into a brand, a commercial success, a team that's more or less were kind of down in terms of business times. But he was one of those who made Bayern, or he was the main man making him into a world brand. So he has different roles, different titles. He's been president, he's been head of sporting manager. It doesn't matter. As Tuchel is saying, he's the boss. So he's always been the one who could say whatever he wanted. I mean, that is a lot of people who can't do that, but you have to win football games to do that, and you have to win trophies to do that. And Ole Gunnar has done it all his career. And a guy like myself who loves the football part of things, but I also love the management around that, you will always be inspired somehow by Ole Gunnar, how he is managed in a kind of, I say that in quote, dictator's way of running a football club, which is should be run by members. But he's been running this club, and he've had people around in them later, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and different people who has kind of co-managed the club. It was even there was a commercial or there was a big thing about some financial irregularity. So he had to go to prison. He came out. People thought he was weakened, but he still come out. And he has different role, but he still is the boss, and he's still there. I asked the Bayern insider, how the Bayern insider. I'm not talking about Christian Falk. These are Bayern insiders. How often he's there? He's more or less there every day, whatever role he's got. So, as you were saying, Marcus, things have calmed down. Tuchel, they made a deal with him. You stay to the end of the season. We don't need an interim coach. We just have you to the end of the season. And Bayer Leverkusen get away with it. They win everything, as we will speak about later. And then you're in the semi-final of the Champions League. So this is a chance for you to go to Wembley again, where they won against Dortmund 2013. Thomas Tuchel has done that for Chelsea. He came in the middle of the season winning the Champions League, and so on and so on. So Ole Gunnar doesn't like to talk to all journalists, but he just picks himself, quite literally himself, the stages where he's sitting. So now he's sitting with Frankfurt Allgemeine Zeitung. It's a paper, a quite serious paper. They have in-depth analysis of politics, foreign politics, and so on. Sit down with them, and he kind of goes into the flow. And what he's saying in this interview, that he says a lot of things. That is Uli Hoeneß. He talks about everything when he speaks. But the main thing is that he's saying that Thomas Tuchel is not a coach who likes to develop players. He likes to buy new ones. So he doesn't want to work with diamonds is not already 100% clean. He likes to he no he wants to work with diamonds. He wants to always buy new players. That's his philosophy. I guess that's the worst thing you can say to any coach. I think that is the worst thing you can say to any manager in any way of life, because a coach like Thomas Tuchel has been in Mainz, he's been in Dortmund, he's gone to Chelsea, PSG, now at Bayern. And he will proud himself, like every other coach, is that I make players better. I make players into world stars. Using Bayern as an example, Pavlovic, who had heard about Pavlovic, now turning him into a national team player and all that. So before the game now against Frankfurt at Allianz, he's interviewed, and then he goes into attack. Thomas Tuchel. It's not everybody. Some coaches would just say, okay, let's forget about it. Let's get on with it. We have an important game on Tuesday. But because it's Thomas Tuchel, he has ire, he has balls to do that. That is point one. And point two, of course, Marcus, who cares? 2 months, he's gone anyway. So he should go there. So he said that this goes on the honor of my profession, of my job, of my role, which is understandable because to develop players, to improve players, I guess that's the basic thing for every coach. Yes, you can have your trophies, important, but the trophies will be a consequence of the way you have developed players. And Marcus, I will just say at the end, before you can ask me the questions or we can discuss this, is that, yes, this is the opinion of Uli Hoeneß, freedom of speech. Okay, say you do that. I'm the advocate now for Uli Hoeneß. He has the right to say it. Yes. Does he have that opinion? Is this his assessment of Tuchel? Yes, okay. Yeah, still do it. And he says today, do you want to apologize? And he said, no, I'm standing by my opinion. Fair enough. But why on earth now? I mean, how in the holy macaroni world can you come to a time that you're on a Friday before you're playing Real Madrid in the Champions League that can save your season? Basically, save your season after being, quote, humiliated by Leverkusen all this season. You find, yes, this is the right point. I attack Tuchel. Why? He's going anywhere. He's going to lead your team on Tuesday against Real Madrid. So why do you do it now? So I think the worst thing here, Marcus, is not his that he has an opinion. Okay, we can discuss that. That he means what he's meaning. I don't think he's right anyway, because I think Tuchel is a good developer of football players. But the timing, I mean, the timing is not even Conference League, Marcus. The timing is a friendly in a village long away from Munich before the season.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, a couple of factors. I guess the recency bias of the whole Pavlovich holding six debacle or conversation probably is part in part what has steered Uli Hoeneß to say what he has said, because Tuchel would insist that he wanted to bring in a number six. Paulinho for Fulham was all but certain to come, and then he didn't, fell through at the last minute, and then somewhat forcibly Tuchel put Pavlovich in the team. But of course, it attacks his profession over the course of a career. And we can name several examples. We could have Schürrle, we could have Weigl, we could have players Chelsea, PSG, what have you. And to be fair to Tuchel, he did address it the following day, today at a press conference. What do you have to say? And he points to his head. It's only Real Madrid in his head, and it seems to have moved on. But of course, that will hurt Tuchel, because I think he's
Yeah,
been
but
part.
it didn't move, Marcus. But yes, by Tuchel, he said, I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
But Joshua Kimmich, the first question to him was something like, has
They
Tuchel
developed
developed
you,
you?
yeah, which is a tough question to get asked, and
It
considering the dynamics that have been, because we don't have to go too
Exactly.
far back to remember that Tuchel and Bayern weren't a good match. It's not until recent that they've really flourished through especially the Champions League performances. I felt for Kimmich because it's a tough question. Of course, like you say, when we talk about the best managers, one of their big characteristics is the fact that they can develop players even when they are beyond those development ages. I guess what I want to ask you, because you are, we talk communication strategy, we talk power dynamics, especially at Bayern, where it's so prevalent. You also have the new guard as well, because it's not only the players and the coach that has to address it. Max Eberl has to address it, right? As Bayern manager, he has to relate to this, and he has Hoeneß up here and then Tuchel there. And when he's asked rather, he navigate that pretty well and said, well, Tuchel has had a good record for it as well. When Bayern are in this rebuilding phase and you still have kind of the godfathers up the very top, how is it for them to manage that? Because it's, they are so significant to the club and where it at, is at. But at the same time, you have someone like Uli Hoeneß there, totally unhinged, and you're trying to build something. How do you analyze sort of that, where Max Eberl is, I guess, and that sort of part of the hierarchy?
Well, but first of all, if you join Bayern, if you are Max Eberl, who lives not far from Uli Hoeneß, was a player there when he was the manager. If you're Christoph Freund coming there, they know about Uli Hoeneß. So this is not new. Is it the new thing is that it's so unbelievable bad timing on it
But are you
because
at the
you
mercy of him? Like, because they
he, of
come in
course
and
you
lead.
are, of
Yeah.
course you
So.
are, of course you are. You can, I mean, you can talk about membership club. You can talk about 50 plus one. You can talk about the General Assembly. Bayern is like this, gladiator. I mean, but Uli Hoeneß will do that in practically. Do I think he's as involved as he used to be? No, he's not. But Max Eberl and Christoph Freund, they will be. They have to find. This is a our art balance of art of balance. Call it whatever you want. So they need to find them. But they knew what they were signing up for. So this will last as long as Uli Hoeneß is alive. And I say it quite blunt. This is what he will be like, 92, coming there with the Adidas chair, walking into the stand. And he will still have the saying. And I'm not, Marcus, I'm not the one. You know that I like Uli Hoeneß. You know that I rate him. I love the way he built up Bayern. So it's nothing to do with him having an opinion. But I think that this time is like you kids, my kids will tell me, this is like a dad joke. It's like I would tell my dad, not now, dad. Please.
Well, it's a bit reminiscent of like your unhinged, not that I say we have that, but an unhinged like older grandfather who kind of doesn't give a shit towards the end, and then says the things that are a bit too controversial.
That's fine. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine again, because that is his right, and he will keep on doing that. That is Bayern. That's an FC Hollywood. But at this time of the season, when you say that, when you don't win anything, that is the same for a striker. You can be as arrogant, you can be as a biggest star in the world, but you have to score goals. You can be the most clever manager, coach in the world, but you have to win football games. So that's the timing for that. I will just say, Marcus, I mean, we'll see now how this, they will probably knock out Real Madrid, and Uli Hoeneß will then be honored by everybody that he did the right thing. You know how football is like. You know how they spin this all that time. In the same conversation, he said, Marcus, to make a bridge now to Ralf Rangnick, he talked about his wife, and his wife told him, and it was quite interesting, because I see now that my role model is not Uli Hoeneß, is his wife. Because his wife said about Alonso exactly the same as I've said all along, and I've based my analysis where he's going. Because his wife said, if this man has character, he will turn Bayern down. And it's funny, because that is exactly what we spoke about, because that's Alonso that we have learned to know, not as friendship or that we are insiders or anything, but a small meeting points that we've had, the small meeting points we've seen him from outside. You've been at Leverkusen, Marcus, you've spoken to the people there. I've been interviewing Alonso. So I'm not saying that we knew, but it's quite interesting to see that we and Frau Hoeneß has the same opinion. So then we'll be, if Ralf Rangnick says no to Bayern, does he have a great character as well? But I think that's different, because he is 65. He's the national coach of Austria. So, and I think that's for every German, sometimes it will be a dream to coach Bayern. He has been talking to them many times. It's never made out. So I think that is going to be harder for him, for Ralf Rangnick to reject Bayern.
Yes, he did say that he was choice number three, I believe, which is comes to no surprise, but even still, another sort of indicator, I guess, as to Uli Hoeneß's nature. We will see. They said that they will announce it rather soon. I think the initial aim was at the end of April, that wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think that, yes, it is. But I think that they couldn't plan to be in the semi-final of the Champions League. I mean, there are two options here. You know, the head of sport at Austrian, quite coincidentally, is my former teammate at Rapid Vienna, Peter Schöttl. So I guess there is negotiations going around at the moment. But Ralf Rangnick is the guy. He is the guy who could turn down Bayern, because he got a single mind. I think that is his strength, and that is a bit his weakness, in terms of when you come to Bayern, Ralf Rangnick, I won't take a quick explain on him because I've done that before, but he is a club builder. But you have a lot of builders at Bayern. So I think that could hold him a bit back. So I think that we are recording this Monday afternoon, Marcus. You will quickly get this out, because I think that there could be an announcement Wednesday or Thursday. We'll see what will happen. But I guess sooner rather than later, it's important to come up with the coach, because for every day that goes by, he is a reserve alternative. Okay, say Alonso was alternative number one. Say Nagelsmann was number two. Zidane, yeah, he didn't speak English or whatever. And now with Ralf Rangnick, he shouldn't wait too long. But I just get a feeling, Marcus, when Ralf Rangnick comes, you know I rate him. You know, I think he's had a fantastic career. He's worked a lot with different internal people. in the Bayer hierarchy through the Red Bull connections. There are three, four of them, most namely Max Eberl and Christoph Freund, of course. And I spoke to a guy who was very close, Marcus, about this. Of course, he hoped that this would happen because he was involved. Maybe we'll get him on and he can ask about the process, because I wanted to write that maybe he will reject Bayern. And he said, just wait for that. And I will. But I publish it now. So, but get it out, Marcus, because I think that they need to publish this quite. There are two alternatives. They do this right after the first game, or they wait till the second game next week, Wednesday, in 8 or 9 days to kind of get it out. But Ralf Rangnick, at least now the candidate, maybe they will do a Liverpool and turn up with someone completely else, but I doubt that very, very much.
And Bayern allegedly passed up on Arne Slot as well. But enough about Bayern. We can conclude the Bayern with the fact that they beat Eintracht Frankfurt. Eintracht Frankfurt lost a great goal by Ekitike, but since the teams behind them, the likes of Freiburg, the likes of an Augsburg, the likes of Hoffenheim, lost, still a 5-point gap. So one step closer for Eintracht to get that vital sixth spot.
Typical, Marcus, the only club in Germany, Eintracht is called the Launische Diva, is that we never know where they're jumping. So they're losing and still winning the same weekend. That is the only team, because they lose against Bayern and played a quite good game, by the way. And then Freiburg, Hoffenheim and Augsburg all losing. And now Sunday, Marcus, I'll say it here, they play Leverkusen at home. Leverkusen is playing this week against Roma. Maybe they lose that game. I don't know. We don't know. But I do know one thing, that when they go there without a loss, Eintracht Frankfurt will beat Leverkusen. I'm 100% sure. That's just football history. Eintracht will do that. That is my Eintracht.
It might
that
even be like a 4-0 or something. It might just be like they just...
No,
a statement.
I was called... Either a statement, Marcus, or I was called up for Bild-Zeitung Frankfurt, and they asked me to comment on that Eintracht Frankfurt, you know how many corners they've had without scoring? 245. So I will say this will be a 1-0 win on a corner. That is so Eintracht.
Well, we'll wait and see. I mean, on Leverkusen, we just have to take note of Leverkusen's achievements. I just want to put it into context here. I do have the notes in front of me because there are several records here to be beaten. But of course, if we break it down, when they beat Mainz on match day 23, they made it 33 games unbeaten, and that surpassed Hansi Flick's Bayern, which we know is a very good Bayern Munich. They won, obviously, 6 titles in 1 season. That beat them of the 2020 and 2021 season for the longest run without defeat by a German side in all competitions. Then they reached the 40-game mark when they beat Fortuna Düsseldorf, and then they equaled the longest unbeaten start to a league campaign against Union Berlin on match day 28. They then surpassed the record of all time when they didn't lose in match day 29. And when they beat Bremen, that also took them level with Juventus for the longest undefeated streak by a team in one of Europe's top 5 leagues at 43 matches. And so it goes. When they went to West Ham, they had 44. Then they were almost about to lose to Dortmund, a 97th minute equalizer through Stanisic. And then, unbelievably so, 2-0 down to Stuttgart. Your boy Andrić, with the 96th minute equalizer, 5 minutes were added. I mean, obviously, if they go through this entire season unbeaten, it will be one of the greatest achievements, I say, ever in terms of from a team, in terms of statement. And that would pretty much secure them a treble as well. I wanted to do like almost a Don Hutchinson's like percentages here, but what would you say the likelihood is of Leverkusen going unbeaten throughout the rest of the season? It's a pretty tough spell of games for them coming up.
Yeah, but I lose against Frankfurt anyway on
Sunday.
Yeah,
of course, you said that. Yeah, of course.
That is gone. But it's amazing, Marcus. I watched that game. It's not like they... I mean, there are some games they're playing Karabakh, and all due respect to them, you can score against Karabakh. Still, you have to have the attitude. You have to steal the energy. You have to have the belief that you can do it against any team, being Cup, European Cup, the Bundesliga. But at this game as well, they play in Stuttgart, maybe one of the biggest surprise. A great team, great coach. And it was, I mean, for people who didn't see it, I mean, the scenes after the game, I watched, I was on and off because I was going from the game. So I came home and I was 2-0 down. And then I And then I saw 2-1, and I thought, well, here we go again, because they scored the 2-1 around the 60th minute. And the last minutes, they were just going forward. And it was not like they created a big chance, but it was just like pressure, pressure, pressure. And the goalkeeper came up on dead balls. And it was all those kind of things. And as you were saying, Marcus, there was five minutes added, and they scored in 96th minute, because there was a free kick left for Leverkusen, the ball in, forward and back. And then Andrić, of course. You said Stanisic against Dortmund. No, it was Andrić. I mean, the most unlikely scorers. You have Boniface, you have Schick, you have Florian Wirtz, you have Xhaka. You name all the potential. You can have Tah, you can have anyone. And then they end up doing it. Just show you, Marcus, yes, is it a bit coincident? A bit. Because you need luck to have this kind of spell. Not kind of spell of winning football games or getting a draw, but to always do this in the last minutes. But it just shows you how football is like, because you've been there, Marcus. I've been there in my football career. In your head is, here we go again. And that could be negative, because if you lose, for you, your centre half, you lose a duel quite early, they score a goal, and you think, wow, here we go again. And as we talked a lot about, Marcus, during your career, always never forget that by going down after a duel, you start in the minus a next duel. So and that is the same for a team. Because then when they get 2-1 Leverkusen, then no, we're going to do it again, aren't we? And you should have seen the scenes at Bayer Arena, Marcus. It was like they won the World Cup. It was like the Bundesliga. They all went ballistic. It was 2-2. And the Stuttgart players were all lying around, because they wanted to be, of course, the team that took away the series. No, they just leave it for Leverkusen. Now for Frankfurt on Sunday to beat them. But still, it was unbelievable. And even Alonso, I mean, he was so... There was a situation I noted just around the 93rd minute, and there was something happening. And he's like... He's emotionally there, but he's not the coach that will get a yellow card or a red card. He's not that kind of coach. And he had his hands down in his pockets that people do when they don't want to show that you're stressed. You just want to do something like this. But he still managed. And then a free kick in, and Andre did 2-2. And they kept on doing that. 97th minute again. It's just amazing season for them. And as you were saying, they will now overcome Rome in the semi-final, Daniel De Rossi's team, and then they are playing the Pokal finale. That's the last game of the season. Imagine that, going into that game, you won every game, and the only thing you have to do is to beat Kaiserslautern. I mean, you can't have any problem there, you might think, but it's a funny season, and football is funny in those terms. And that's why I'm so convinced that Frankfurt will beat them. But amazing what Alonso and that Leverkusen take. Just says everything about their attitude, Marcus.
Yeah, it's incredible. You run out of superlatives, and the day will come. But wow, how fantastic it would be if they ran through the entire season. Talk about leaving a legacy. Let finish up in terms of RB Leipzig and Dortmund. Stuttgart, if they had won there, it would have guaranteed them Champions League. Now it looks increasingly likely that it will be top five teams that will go to Champions League from Germany. However, we have RB Leipzig, 62 points, only 2 points behind Stuttgart. Really picked up pace, but they thrashed Dortmund. That a proper, almost I don't say meltdown, but a statement win by RB Leipzig. And again, we sort of another game in which we can't really make sense of this Dortmund team.
Well, Dortmund, first of all, as you were saying, it seems that the fifth position in the Bundesliga, basically on ranking, they'll beat England, because England, no teams except Aston Villa, because they all, you pick up your points, but Leverkusen is in the Europa League as well, so they will pick up points for them. So you may say that Dortmund, in a very difficult group in Champions League, and now knocking out Atletico Madrid, they have deserved that Champions League place for next season, because they have earned it themselves. It seems like they, and in the Champions League, they play with their soul, a different soul. There's nothing to lose. And in the Bundesliga, they need some, well, throughout, very clear analysis why they are doing so bad. There was a much more intensity and energy out of the Leipzig team. And Leipzig has been, because they haven't been involved so much in Europe, and Stuttgart has been a surprise of the season, the trouble at Bayern, and then Leverkusen being so magnificent. So the job that Marco Rosa has done at Leipzig is kind of more in quiet, and they've sold players. They are a club that always sell players. So I'm very happy for Marco Rosa. I rate him both as a person and a coach. And they now seem to secure that fourth position in there. And Dortmund got to ask themselves, and it's only the Champions League that will save Terzic's position, because now at the end of the season, we're thinking, yeah, great race at the beginning. Leverkusen, Bayern and Stuttgart up there. But wow, Dortmund was supposed to be the main challenger to Bayern. Leverkusen just came from nowhere, nowhere. Stuttgart, they, without quote, came from nowhere. And but I still think that Dortmund got a chance against PSG, that they just show that freedom of expression, that thing that they get in the Champions League. It's just amazing that you have two faces like Dortmund, even in games. Remember that game in Madrid, Marcus, against Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid could be 3 or 4 nil up, and then they managed to save themselves with a goal at home, 2-2, and then they turn it around again, which is amazing. So it's very hard to be tough on Dortmund, and it's easy to praise them once they don't win the Champions League.
Well, it's a marker of a team that wants to win titles, consistency, right? So what Dortmund ultimately show is that their top level of performance is there, but then it's a consistency. And as we know, whether you're a player or a team, performing sort of in sets, select moments is not going to win you something, but it might win you something when it comes to a cup format, right? And there you can invoke that emotion and Westfalenstadion and sort of really get the most out of the players. But ultimately, their sort of volatility indicates it's not a team that is ready to fight for the title. We're getting towards the end here, Dad. We have to discuss the relegation battle, because we have one team that have been confirmed to go down. We've known that for a while, but Darmstadt are going down. Heidenheim won very late on. Heidenheim secured their spot. But then you have a fight there for especially the relegation playoff. Köln equalized very, very late against Mainz to give them a semblance of hope. But they're 5 points behind Mainz even still. Mainz team that is by far the most informed team amongst the teams that are battling for relegation. But then you have Mainz on 28 points relegation playoff. Then Bochum with a vital win against Hoffenheim at 30. Union Berlin at 30. Gladbach at 32. And Wolfsburg, by winning away to Freiburg, secured their spot, you would say, under Hasenhüttl. But I would be curious to see who you think would suspect being in the relegation playoffs there, because I would say if Mainz in the relegation playoff, I'd be pretty confident they're getting out. But then you have the likes of a Gladbach and Union who drew 0-0, did themselves no favours. I'm a bit worried for these type of teams if they were to go into a relegation playoff. I don't know what you think, Dad.
Yeah, I think you can count them into teams that are used to be in a battle. Bochum will be in there. I would have said before this round that they will go down, or at least they will be on that playoff position. And mind you, you were also saying that when you have a cup format, you never know what's happening. So over two games, a quick explainer again, the third in the Zweite Liga will play against the third last in the Bundesliga, home and away, finished. It's like a big playoff. The thing is now, it's quite interesting. Yes, Mainz in form. But that goal is so vital. I mean, that means everything. They had two more points. They will at least be safe for the playoff position. But I believe in Mainz, as we do, because as you were saying, they're in form. Then Union Berlin, scandalous start of the season. But you thought they had saved themselves. And now they drag them back in again, like Corleone would have said. When they thought they were out of it, they drag me back in again. And then you have Gladbach, who has been, I would say, mismanaged, but I mean, the potential there are in Gladbach, the squad they're having, now they find themselves down there. And the problem with them, as you were alluding to, I think that is English word for it, is that they were not used to this. And I've been involved, as you know, a couple of seasons in the Bundesliga. We always knew this was a battle. So we always knew that this point is important, that goal is important, there's going to be goal difference. See England now, every point in the top of the league will make out who will be in the Premier League, and same at the bottom of England with Luton and Forest and which teams are involved there. So I think Köln is finished. I think this is too. They in the theory they can still do it. They can still do a miracle. Mainz, Bochum, Union, Ralf Hasenhüttl, the new coach at Wolfsburg, seem to have done enough. Because, but again, Marcus, it just shows you at the end of the season. I'm not using the word hate because I don't like the word hate, but I don't like people when they. I see that when I'm in studio at Viaplay as well, and we discuss that with people. We always talk about this rest program. Fair enough to tell the rest program, but it's not possible to say which games are easy and which games are difficult. Because at the end of the season, you can have the freedom of just, you're middle of nowhere. You can just play your game, explore your game, want to show the crowd that you're still there, and so on and so on. So I think the points in hand that the other teams have. So I will get Köln down. I would still think Bochum, but as I saw Bochum now understand the situation they are in, I would probably say that maybe Union Berlin could end up on a playoff.
And wow, how the mighty would have fallen, so to speak, after starting the season in Champions League spots. Dad, we are towards the end here. Mainz or Bochum or Gladbach or Union. They might not play Hamburg either because they won't even get the much mythicized
still
third
could.
Spot.
Still could.
4 points behind Fortuna Düsseldorf with three games to go. We will see an FC Kaiserslautern who are going to play a cup final at the end of May. They are also fighting relegation in the Zweite Bundesliga. So a lot to unpick. But for now, Dad, thank you so much. Yeah. And we have Champions League games coming up. We got Europa League games coming up, all with German teams involved. And so I'm sure we'll be analysing that as well. Plenty to pick. And the drama in FC Hollywood continues. And we will be following it closely.
Yes, because next time we talk, Marcus, in 1 week time, we probably know who's the new Bayern coach. We probably know that Leverkusen have finally lost the football game as they're playing Eintracht Frankfurt the day before. And we know, of course, their destiny, at least the half of the destiny of Bayern Dortmund. I just remind people that last time Champions League final at Wembley Stadium, there was Dortmund against Bayern. I mean, wow, imagine that. But yes, it's going to be a fantastic week for everybody who loves football. And also, if you love German football, this is going to be a very eventful week. So till then, auf Wiedersehen. And I was saying, Mr. Andy Marcus, thank you a lot to our viewers and our listeners about you subscribing. It's brilliant for us, Marcus and me, do this on a free basis. We do this because we have the passion for German football and football overall. So we think that the best thing that we can motivate us is that we have your interaction with you, some great tip you're having all the time, and we will keep on developing this podcast and this YouTube channel. So we very much appreciate when you subscribe. And for new listeners and viewers, please subscribe at the YouTube channel or at our platform.